Welcome everyone to pre-ICAN 59 Pulse Update webinar at 19 UTC on Thursday, 15 June 2017. We are now starting, and I will hand it over to David Olive for opening remarks.
Greetings and welcome everybody, and thank you for taking time to be part of the webinar today. I am David Olive, ICAN Senior Vice President for Policy Development Support and Managing Director of the ICAN office in Istanbul, and I am speaking to you today from our Istanbul office. It is my pleasure to introduce the policy support team as they present our pre-ICAN 59 policy webinar. This webinar is designed to provide a high-level update from the supporting organizations and advisory committees as they prepare issues for the meeting in Johannesburg. And we are very pleased to be back in Africa again for these sessions. ICANN's policy development process and advice work relating to the domain name system's technical coordination functions are formed and refined by the ICANN community through its three supporting organizations and influenced by four advisory committees in our bottom-up, multi-stakeholder, open and transparent process. I'd like to show this graphic that provides a bit of a graphic overview of the various processes for the supporting organizations, for example, and it shows the various steps and part of the work that you, the community, are actively doing. ICAN 59 is our second policy forum. And before I get into the details of that, I would also just like to point out that the policy team that supports your work in these important areas of policy and advice development are mostly are on this call and prepared this report for you. We have 31 members of the team in five time zones across 11 countries and speaking 14 different languages as cited here. And we provide and support the global function of policy and advice development at ICANN. In terms of ICANN 59, it is our second policy forum. The supporting organizations and advisory committees have taken the lead in organizing the program for us. The mornings are dedicated to outreach and advancing policy and advice work. The afternoons will feature cross-community sessions exploring a variety of topics, including ongoing policy and the latest priorities of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. We begin ICANN also with the presentation of the Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Award, concluding a community-driven selection process, and so that is an important feature at our opening event. There'll be no ceremonies or public forum sessions. Instead, just good debate and discussions and a focus on the substance involved and the important topics and solutions that the community is looking at in trying to come up with the best possible proposals for policy and advice. Each evening, we'll have network receptions that will allow the participants to get to know each other and continue their discussions going forward. The cross-community discussions will also take place in the afternoon, as I mentioned, and here are the number of them. There will be an important community forum looking at the proposed fundamental bylaw amendment. The empowered community will be featured in this one and some of the mechanisms for that. Look at the next generation registration services. There will be a session on the global data protection regulation, geographic names, the operation plan and budget of ICANN, and how priorities are set within our organization, as well as some other cross-community activities, and the team will be talking about it with you. So with that, I would like to thank you for joining us and turn it over to Mary Wong to talk a bit about these cross-community sessions, but in particular, the community forum on the proposed fundamental bylaw amendment. Mary, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. much, David. And hello, everybody. As David said, my name is Mary Wong, and I'm a member of the policy support team, where I currently support the generic name supporting organization, as well as the new Empowered Community and the Empowered Community Administration. So one of the more interesting developments that we will see at ICANN 59 in Johannesburg is the convening of the first ever community forum under ICANN's revised bylaws. And as many of you know, this is occasioned by a proposal to change one of ICANN's bylaws, which currently under the revised bylaws are divided into standard bylaws and fundamental bylaws. For fundamental bylaws, in order for any change to go through, the new Empowered Community will need to approve, in addition to the board itself approving the proposed amendment. The new Empowered Community, again, as everyone knows, I think, is comprised of five decisional participants, which is three of ICANN supporting organizations and two of our advisory committees. These five decisional participants are the Address Supporting Organization, or ASO, the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, or CCNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or GNSO, and the two advisory committees are the Governmental Advisory Committee, or the GAC, and the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC. The Empowered Community comprising these five decisional participants sends notifications and acts formally through the Empowered Community Administration, which is five individuals from each of these five supporting organizations and advisory committees. And it is the Empowered Community Administration that is charged with running this community forum at ICANN 59. One of the, milestones the Empowered Community here about this committee forum is that this will represent the first time that the Empowered Community is exercising one of its powers under the revised ICANN bylaws. You'll see on this slide an overview in the light blue section on the left side that describes what it is that this new power is about. And as I mentioned earlier, it is an amendment to a fundamental bylaw. In this case, it is the proposal by the board to transfer one of the responsibilities of the Board Governance Committee to a new board committee that will be formed to essentially cover oversight of all accountability-related mechanisms. You see in the light blue section as well some relevant dates, and it was the board approval of this proposal that triggered the Empowered Community's power. The notification was sent by the ICANN secretary to the Empowered Community Administration a couple of weeks ago, and that sets in motion a certain set of timeframes, which is very important for the Empowered Community to note. The community forum itself, it takes place within one of these timeframes, and at Johannesburg, this will be on Tuesday, the 27th of June, at 8 o'clock in the morning local time. The time frame that then runs from then goes to end on the 21st of July 2017, and that is the deadline by which all five decisional participants need to notify the Empowered Community Administration as to whether their respective community groups approve or don't approve of the proposed fundamental bylaw amendment. So I highlight it here because it is not just about the community forum, but it is about the decision that each decisional participant will need to take after that community forum. So at ICANN 59, the community forum will be the time when the community can discuss the proposed bylaw amendment. And what I'd like to emphasize here is that it is a forum for the whole community. And what this means also is that members of the community, through all of the SOs and ACs, can provide written views about the proposed amendment. So the ability to provide written views, the ability to participate in the community forum, is not limited to just the five decisional participants. So in order to prepare for this community forum, to look at what may be involved in terms of the exercise by the empowered community of this first power. We've put in some links in the red section of the pod here, and you'll get all these slides after this. So hopefully this has been an interesting and useful overview for you as to the first ever community forum under ICANN's new bylaws. On that note, I will turn things over to my colleague Marika Konings, who will speak about the next community session that's scheduled for ICANN 59. Marika?
Thank you very much, Mary, and hello, everyone. Greetings from Costa Rica. My name is Marika Konings. I'm the Vice President of Policy Support for the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or the GNSO. And the next topic we'll be talking to you about is the next generation GTLD Registration Directory Services, or RDS, policy development process and the related cross-community session that will be taking place at ICANN 59. So many of you are aware, WHOIS was created in the 1980s as a collection and publication of domain name registration data service by internet operators to be able to identify and contact individuals or entities responsible for the operation of a network resource on the internet. As such, it actually predates the creation of ICANN. With the uptake of the internet, though, WHOIS started to be used by many different stakeholders and for purposes beyond those originally envisioned, but the underlying protocol has remained largely unchanged. And although ICANN's requirements for domain name registration, data collection, access, and accuracy for GTLD registries has undergone some important changes, including, for example, the Registration Data Publication Service specification with the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or RAA. The WHOIS policy and underlying protocol have been the subject of this for nearly 15 years now. Comprehensive WHOIS policy reform remains the source of long-running discussions related to the issue, addressing topics such as purpose, accuracy, privacy, anonymity, cost, policing, intellectual property protection, security, just to name a few. So to address these issues, the ICANN board launched an initiative back in 2012, which it recently reconfirmed for a board-initiated policy development process to define the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data, and to consider safeguards for protecting such data using the recommendations developed by the expert working group on this topic as an input to, and if deemed appropriate, as the foundation for new GTLD policy. As part of the first phase of its work, the PDP working group is expected to identify the fundamental requirements for GTLD registration data without concern for the model that may be delivering such requirements. As well as associated access, accuracy, data elements, and privacy requirements. Once the PDP working group has completed this inventory of fundamental requirements, it will need to ask the question whether a new policy framework and a next generation RDS are needed to meet these requirements, or whether the current WHOIS policy framework can meet these requirements in its current form or with modifications. So what can you expect from the cross-community session at ICANN 59? The session will kick off with a brief overview of the questions that are now being addressed by this working group and the progress of the working group in answering those questions. Today, the working group has reached a draft agreement on 26 key concepts, which have focused on so-called thin data, which is draft agreements such as every thin data element should have at least one legitimate purpose and existing GTLD RDS policies do not sufficiently address compliance with applicable data protection, privacy, and free speech laws about purpose. Who's not familiar with the concept of thin data? It consists of data elements which are mainly associated with the domain name, but not necessarily the registrants. The working group has now actually decided to move away from that terminology and is using the term minimum public data set instead. So most of the agenda for the cross-community discussion will actually focus on interactive dialogue between the working group members and the broader community on the working group's initial key concepts for users and purposes, data elements, privacy, and access to GTLD registration data, specifically for the minimum public data set. To date, the working group has deliberated on four of the five fundamental questions which are outlined in its charter, thereby focusing on requirements for users and purposes, data elements, privacy, and access to GTLD registration minimum public data set. And as a result of these deliberations, as mentioned before, the working group has now reached agreement, a preliminary agreement on over 20 draft working group agreements. Once it has completed this first pass deliberation on key concepts associated with the minimum public data set, the working group will expand its focus to so-called SIG data, which includes data elements that are associated with the registrant. Do note that based on those deliberations, it could be decided that further data elements are added to the current minimum public data set. Following that, a second pass deliberation will be used to confirm and or refine working group agreements to eventually be able to answer the question, is a new policy framework and next generation registration directory service needed to address these requirements? The requirements and conclusions are then published in the form of an initial report, which will be published for public comment. In order to prepare for this session, in addition to reviewing the information that can be found at some of the links on the previous slides, you are encouraged to review the key concepts deliberation working document, draft document, which contains the details of the working group draft agreements reached to date. On this slide, you can see the main questions that have been addressed as part of the draft agreements reached to date, and which will be the main focus of discussion during the cross-community session. And with that, I'm handing it over to my colleague, Joke Brakke.
Thank you, Marika, and hello, everybody. My name is Joke Brakke, policy advisor for the CCNSO, and speaking to you from Hamburg, Germany. I will now provide you with an overview of what you may expect in Johannesburg from the GDPR cross-community session. Following a call for proposals, the CCNSO suggested a cross-community session on the GDPR, the European Union General Data Protection Regulation. This regulation will come into effect slightly less than a year from now, in May 2018. And the goal of this cross-community session is to explore the impact of the GDPR on the domain name industry and its users. Users really in a broad sense of the word, meaning registries, registrars, registrants, and other stakeholders. The importance and relevance of this session is clearly demonstrated by the fact that the regulation has a direct impact on all registries and registrars who do business with Europeans or who work from the EU. It has a broader impact than just the European Union or one of the SOs or ACs. The regulation will apply directly to all persons and entities that process the data of EU residents. During this cross-community session in Johannesburg, we will cover three different topics. First, the scene will be set by giving a general introduction on the GDPR and its impact on the business. We then further explore how the GDPR affects registrants and services by registries and registrars. And the aim is really to look for practical solutions during the second part of the session. Lastly, the audience is asked to look into the potential impact of the GDPR on current ICANN-related work, such as the work Marika just alluded to, and the next steps. The session is first and foremost intended as a dialogue of the attendees, and after a brief introductory presentation, a moderated dialogue will occur with the audience. So the number of presentations will be limited, since the focus lies on the dialogue. The first two topics are intended to inform the audience, so the topic with the general introduction and its impact on the business and how it affects registrants and services by registries and registrars. It is really about creating a level informational playing field, so basically the presenters will provide a brief factual overview of the scope, the principles, the basic rights, the obligations, and the exclusions under the GDPR, including the impact as a regulation versus the current legal framework. The goal of the third party of the session is to assess if and to what extent current and future initiatives under the ICANN umbrella related to data protection are affected by the GDPR and the upcoming effective date of May 2018. Is there a need to prioritize or revisit the current list of work? Does one project or set of activities need to be deferred in favor of another? Those are some of the questions that will be dealt with during the session. The moderators are Peter Verholte from the CCNSO site and Oliver Zume from the GNSO site. The session chair will be Cheryl Langdon-Orr from ALAC. And although not all presenters have been confirmed, Catherine Bauer-Boots from the European Union will present on the first topic, Becky Burr on the second, and Theresa Swinehart from ICE-Staff on the third. The GDPR session is scheduled for Tuesday, the 27th of June, starting at 3:15. And I welcome you all to the session. Thank you. That concludes my updates on the GDPR, and I now hand it over to my colleague, Steve.
Thank you, Yoka. This is Steve Chan, and greetings from Los Angeles. I am a member of the GNSO support team, and I'll be discussing the geographic names cross-community session. So one of the primary reasons that the cross-community sessions on geographic names at the top level were requested is that there are divergent views amongst the various community organizations, and then further, different views within those organizations as well. In addition, there are parallel efforts within the community, all looking at how geographic names can be handled in the future, but with a different focus and scope of work, which has the potential to lead to conflicting outcomes. So in terms of what to expect at ICANN 59, because of the divergent views and parallel efforts, the GNSO's new GTLD's subsequent procedures PDP working group is trying to facilitate a dialogue amongst the interested parties to help everyone achieve an understanding of the various positions and proposals in the community to address geographic names at the top level. And then further to collaborate to try and develop a consensus-based solution that, to the extent possible, accounts for the concerns of all parties involved. And how you can prepare for these cross-community sessions is to read the webinars details. I'll talk a little bit more about the webinars in a moment. There's also a background paper that provides a little bit of history and evolution on the topic. And then finally, there will be a proposal or set of proposals that are currently in development, but they will be shared and provided on the webinar page, reference on this page, as well as the cross-community session pages for ICANN 59. So in discussing the topic, I wanted to start with a brief bit of historical context. The original recommendations on geographic names did not envision reserving or blocking geographic names, and conflicts for existing rights and names would be handled via objections. However, due to concerns from many amongst the community about this approach, this resulted in country and territory names being excluded from registration in the 2000 round of new GTLDs, while other geographic names, as defined in the applicant guidebook, required support or non-objection from the relevant governments or public authorities. Those are the rules as are captured in the current applicant guidebook, but these were the result of board decisions rather than GNSO policy development, which in essence means there's an inconsistency between GNSO recommendations and the implementation. So I mentioned briefly earlier that there are parallel efforts concerning geographic names in the community. One is the subsequent procedures PDP working group, though it's not deliberated on this topic in depth to this point. There's also the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names, which is about to conclude its work and will be discussed in greater detail by my colleague later in this presentation. And finally, there's the GAC working group on the protection of geographic names as well. So what the subsequent procedures PDP working group is trying to do is to consolidate these efforts and try to ensure a coordinated consensus output is reached on geographic names. And so I mentioned the webinar briefly. And so what that was intended to do was serve as a precursor to the cross-community session at ICANN 59. The PEP working group convened a pair of webinars where any interested party could provide input on the topic of geographic names at the top level. The presentations provided a legal framework around geonames, and there were also various proposals from the community that were presented. So finally, I just wanted to provide a little more detail around the ICANN 59 sessions. In support of the sessions, the proposals from the webinar have been consolidated in a matrix, and the subsequent procedures PDP working group co-chairs will add a proposal of their own, which attempts to be a compromise solution that takes proper account of the proposals reviewed today. That said, their proposal is just one of the many others for the community to consider and is not necessarily intended to be given any additional level of importance. This matrix will be completed shortly and made available on the webinar page, as well as the ICANN 59 session pages. The first of the two geographic names cross-community sessions will be held on Tuesday, 27 June, and will be for 90 minutes. It will be a moderated session where the proposals will be discussed and input gathered. Depending on the feedback received during the session, the working group co-chairs may attempt to incorporate the input received to develop a revised proposal for discussion during the second session. And so that second session is scheduled for Thursday, 29 June, and will be for 180 minutes. Again, this will be a moderated session where the audience will either consider the existing proposals again or possibly a revised proposal stemming from discussions in session one. And so the goal, an admittedly ambitious one, is to reach a compromise consensus-based solution on geographic names at the top level. However, if that proves unattainable, the secondary goal is to reach agreement with the community on a framework or path forward to resolving the issue in the future. And so with that, I conclude my slides, and I welcome your participation in the cross-community sessions, and I pass it back to Yoka. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Steve. So this is Yoka again, and I will provide you now with an overview of what you may expect at ICANN 59 from the cross-community session on the operational side of ICANN's ops plan and budget. So this cross-community session on the operational side of ICANN's ops plan and budget is really a follow-up from a session hosted at the previous policy forum in Helsinki last year. It is meant to be a dialogue, and it is also intended to contribute to ICANN's ongoing planning cycle and budgeting process. Again, it is intended to continue the dialogue between the community and ICANN executives to foster understanding of the operational planning. Up and until fiscal year 2016, the focus was foremost on the budget side of the annual planning cycle. However, given the current quality of that part of the process, it offered the opportunity to focus on the operational side. The cross-community session will follow the same format as the session held last year, where ICANN has requested to provide more insights on certain ICANN operational strategies and processes. It is meant to enhance the cross-community dialogue on the operational goals of ICANN and related key performance indicators and metrics. It is not, and I repeat, not, intended to discuss and change the fiscal year 18 ops plan and budget as such. In Johannesburg, the dialogue will focus on the following topics: PTI budget and the long-term planning, the ICANN international engagement follow-up, including regional offices and hub strategy, and the new GTLD program estimates. So this cross-community session on the operational side of ICANN's ops plan and budget is scheduled for Wednesday, starting at 3:15, and it is followed by the cross-community session entitled Who Sets ICANN's Priorities? And I'm happy to provide you with an overview on what you may expect from that session as well. The goal of this session is to develop a shared understanding of community perspectives about how priorities are made in the ICANN system and who should set those priorities. Because when organizations have clear priorities, they get more work done and everybody knows where to focus their energy and enthusiasm. Prioritization of activities has been a major issue for quite some time for the whole ICANN system, for the board, for staff, and last but not least, for the community. So individual SOs and ACs, they have previously tried to implement prioritization strategies. Some were more successful than others. And the SOAC leadership raised the issue as well and started to look into it since October 2014. The priorities of ICAM, the organization, are derived from the strategic and operational plan and budget. At ICAN 56, at Helsinki, that is, in a cross-community session on workload scheduling and management, several ideas, among them prioritization, were explored and discussed as a means to make the workload at ICAN more digestible and manageable for all members of the community. At ICAN 58, a number of discussions with ICAN board members, senior staff, and community members showed a wide variety of different understandings about A, what ICANN's priorities are, and B, who is responsible for establishing those priorities. So some sense of priorities are available from discussions with the board, from discussions with staff, from the strategic and operating planning framework, and from actual operations. However, they are all asserting different priorities, and as a result, different audiences get different messages about what is important. So moving forward in discussions to date, the vast majority of participants have agreed that the whole ICAN system, so board, staff, and the community, would benefit from clear priorities rather than trying to work on too many things at once. They also agreed that there would be less risk of volunteer burnout, less confusion about what needs to be done, and less pressure on the ICAN organization and or ICAN staff to meet many and ever-growing needs and demands. So in Johannesburg, you may expect to receive information about the different perspectives and approaches, how priorities are set, if they are available. Moreover, a community dialogue will take place where either converge towards an agreed approach or expose differences of opinion about how priorities are set. If the discussion can identify an existing group to take or to confirm responsibility for this task, that would be very helpful. The cross-community session on who sets ICAN priorities takes place on Wednesday, starting at 5 p.m. local time, and we welcome you to participate in this session. Thank you. This concludes the overview of the cross-community sessions to be held in Johannesburg. And with that, we can move to the next presentation on cross-community working group activities. Over to you, Emily.
Thanks, Yoka. Hi, everyone. My name is Emily Barabas. I'm a member of the GNSO policy support team based in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. I'll be sharing some information about the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names, one of the initiatives on geographic names mentioned earlier in this webinar. The CCWG was established in 2014 to examine treatment of country and territory names at the top level. The group focused its work on representations included in the International Organization for Standardization, or ISO's 3166-1 list. The CCWG is now wrapping up its work. It published an interim paper earlier this year and has incorporated feedback from public comment. The updated document is now being presented as the CCWG's final paper, and I'll share in the chat the link to that paper now. The purpose of the CCWG was to establish whether it is feasible to develop a harmonized framework on the use of country and territory names at the top level that could apply across the respective supporting organizations and advisory committees. If feasible, the CCWG was tasked with developing such a harmonized framework. The CCWG considered 2- and 3-letter representations of country and territory names at the top level. The group reached preliminary consensus in support of the current status of 2-letter strings as exclusively reserved for CCTLDs. The group discussed 3-letter representations of country and territory names. A wide range of views were expressed and no consensus was reached. The group concluded that it is not feasible for the CCWG to develop a harmonized framework for several reasons. Multiple parallel work streams are ongoing in the community and should be combined. Second, this group's mandate was too limited. And third, that there's no clear connection between CCWGs and the policy development processes in the CCNSO and GNSO. The final paper outlines a series of recommendations, and you can see them on the slide. A substantial majority of the members supported the following recommendations to chartering organizations. First, to close the CCWG as a harmonized framework is not feasible under the current circumstances. Second, that the ICANN community should consolidate all policy efforts relating to geographic names to enable in-depth analysis and discussion on all aspects of the issue. And three, that future policy development work must facilitate an all-inclusive dialogue to ensure that all members of the community have an opportunity to participate. The group did not reach consensus on how future work should be organized. The different perspectives are captured in the final paper for consideration by the chartering organizations. The CCWG will not be meeting at ICANN 59 as its work is nearly complete. And now I'll turn it over to Marika. We'll be talking about the cross-community working group on UGTLD auction proceeds.
Thank you very much, Emily. So I think as many of you know, auctions were chosen as the mechanism of last resort to resolve string contention within the new GTLD program. However, most string contention has been resolved through other means before actually even reaching an auction. Nevertheless, significant funding has accrued as a result of several auctions, and these proceeds have been reserved and earmarked, and they currently stand at over $200 million U.S. dollars. Community topics or community discussions on this topic started back at ICANN 52 and resulted, amongst others, in a discussion paper that preceded the creation of a drafting team consisting of representatives from most ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees, which was responsible for developing a proposed charter for a cross-community working group. And such charter was subsequently adopted by all ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. The CCWG commenced its deliberations earlier this year and has been tasked with developing a proposal or proposals on a mechanism that to be developed in order to allocate new GTLD auction proceeds. It's important to understand that the CCWG will not make recommendations or determinations with regards to specific funding decisions. So, for example, which organizations or projects are to be funded or not. That's not within its remit. At ICANN 59, the CCWG will be hosting a face-to-face meeting, which will be open to anyone interested. During this meeting, the CCWG expects to commence the second phase of its work plan, which focuses on addressing any charter questions for which preliminary agreement needs to be reached before it can move on to the next phase of work, which consists of compiling a list of possible mechanisms, following which a determination would be made which mechanism or mechanisms demonstrate the most potential based on the initial run-through of charter questions and preliminary agreements reached. Once a determination has been made concerning which mechanism or mechanisms demonstrate the most potential, the CCWG will aim to answer the different charter questions from the perspective of that mechanism. This is expected to be an iterative process, as further deliberation may find that a certain mechanism is no longer deemed to be the preferred option. At the end of this iterative process, the CCWG is expected to achieve consensus on the mechanism and responses to the charter questions, which are required to take into account the legal, fiduciary, and audit constraints and requirements that have been identified. These conclusions are then to be published for public comments, which the CCWG is aiming to do by the end of this year. On this slide, you'll find a couple of links to materials that should assist you in your preparation for this session. On this slide, you see a graphic depiction of the next steps, some of which I already covered during the previous slide. Following the publication of the initial report, the CCWG will analyze the comments received and make any changes it deems necessary before submitting its final report to the chartering organizations. Only after all the chartering organizations have approved the final report will it get submitted to the ICANN board for its consideration. So now we're moving on to the updates on supporting organization and advisory committee activities at ICANN 59, and I'm handing it over to my colleague, Carlos.
Thanks very much, Marika. Hello, everyone. My name is Carlos Reyes, speaking to you from Washington, D.C., and I'll be providing an update on the address supporting organization. Looking ahead to ICANN 59 next in 2 weeks, the ASO Address Council will not be meeting formally at ICANN 59. They held their annual meeting at ICANN 58 in Copenhagen. However, you'll see members of the ASO Address Council as well as the NRO Executive Council and staff from the regional internet registries. You'll see them present in Johannesburg. Of note, this is an important meeting for the numbers community as ITEMS International will be presenting their draft report of the ASO review. As you know, part of the ICANN bylaws mandate organizational reviews of the various communities here at ICANN, and that is no different for the ASO. The objective of the review is to determine whether the ASO has a continuing purpose in ICANN, and if so, whether any changes in that structure or operations are necessary to improve its effectiveness. So that is something to note. The session will take place on Wednesday morning. And just a quick reminder, the Address Council is the body that oversees global policy development for the members community. The Address Council consists of representatives from the three service regions. And you've probably heard me reference global policies. A global policy is something very specific. A global policy requires specific actions or outcomes by the IANA functions operator. And for it to reach the ASO Address Council, the five RIRs must approve the same global policy. At that point, the ICANN Board of Directors may accept, reject, request changes, or take no action. This is the global policy development process. It's not been used fairly frequently. The most recent global policy development process occurred in 2012 with post-exhaustion IPv4 allocation mechanisms. Another example would be IPv6 allocation of IPv6 blocks from 2006. There are currently no global policy proposals. Therefore, there's obviously no need for the Address Council to manage that process. However, there's a lot of regional policy development occurring across the five regions. In general, policies right now are falling into four different areas. Simplification of IPv4 transfer policies, these are existing policies, as well as revisiting some of the criteria for allocating IPv6 address blocks. WHOIS accuracy is another area that the RIRs are currently exploring in policy development. And finally, language clarification, such as removing references to outdated RFCs and other language issues. The RIRs have two meetings. Each RIR has two meetings per year. So these are the meetings that have happened since ICANN 58. And looking ahead, the next set of meetings begin in September, running all the way through November. Over the past few months, we've had a good presence from the ICANN organization in terms of staff, as well as ICANN board members engaging directly with the numbers community at these meetings. RIR meetings, that's where policy development happens for the numbering community, but the meetings also feature trainings and workshops on IPv6 and other internet number resource matters. And with that, I hand it over to my colleague, Yoke.
Thank you very much, Carlos. So I would like to provide you with an overview of what you may expect in Johannesburg from the Country Code Name Supporting Organization. So on Monday, we will start with Tech Day, which is a workshop open for all community members with an interest in technical and operational matters, including registry work and security. CCNSO working groups have their face-to-face meetings on either Monday or Thursday, whereas the CCNSO members meeting takes place on Tuesday and on Wednesday. CCTLD community will then discuss issues affecting the world's country code TLD managers at that meeting, which is open for all to attend. And then finally, the CCNSO Council will have its formal meeting on Thursday morning. There are three topics that will be discussed during the CCNSO members meeting that I wish to highlight. First of all, a discussion of the CCNSO on its internal approval action guideline. So as most of you will know, the ICANN board recently proposed to change a fundamental bylaw. And as Mary previously alluded to, to the approval action procedure by the decisional participants, so the CCNSO, being a decisional participant, will have to decide whether to either support object, or abstain from the approval action once ICANN 59 has concluded. The CCNSO and the CCNSO Council thus need to have a guideline in place to be ready for decision making. The CCNSO Guideline Review Committee has developed a draft for a CCNSO internal approval action guideline. However, a community consultation is needed to provide guidance to the CCNSO Council. And why is this consultation needed? Well, the Guideline Review Committee has identified a major issue. The way the CCNSO has structured its own decision-making process is not compatible with the timelines of the ICANN bylaw approval action procedure. All council decisions by the CCNSO Council are potentially subject to a member's vote, which should be requested by at least 17 members of the country code name supporting organization and then followed by a member's vote. But the deadlines are not compatible, and in Johannesburg, the community will need to discuss this. So related to the approval action is a second item I want to highlight, namely rejection action petitions. And that is because decisional participants, such as the CCNSO, they play an important role in the rejection action procedure. And again, the CCNSO will want an internal guideline on how to deal with the decision-making of council and members with respect to the rejection actions. This session during the CCNSO members' meeting is intended to simulate and discuss the role of the CCNSO, the role of the other decisional participants and others with respect to a rejection action. And the topics that will be addressed include when and how to file a rejection petition, the timelines involved, the roles of the CCNSO Council, the CCNSO members, and the Empowered Community Administration. Anyone interested to participate in this session and to learn from it is welcome to attend. It will take place on Wednesday morning. The last CCNSO members meeting discussion topic that I wish to highlight is the CCNSO policy development process. So the CCNSO Council has recently initiated its third CCNSO PDP, or policy development process. And the goal of this PDP is really to develop and recommend policies to the ICANN Board of Directors pertaining to the retirement of country code top-level domains, CCTLDs, and the review mechanisms for decisions relating to the delegation, the transfer, the revocation, and the retirement of CCTLDs. The CCNSO Council decided that the initial focus will be on developing a policy for the retirement of CCTLDs. In Johannesburg, the Retirement Working Group will have its first face-to-face meeting. As part of the launching process, feedback is sought on the issues report. Public comments period will close on the 10th of July, so any comments that you may have will feed into the work of this group, so your input is valuable. Many thanks. That concludes my update on what you may expect in Johannesburg from the Country Code Name Supporting Organization. And then over to you, Marika.
Thank you very much, Joke. Next up is the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or GNSO. In addition to leading and participating in the cross-community discussions that have been mentioned earlier in this presentation, the GNSO has carved out substantial time on its agenda for the different policy development process working groups to be able to meet face-to-face and progress in their deliberations. This includes the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Working Group, the Next Generation Registration Directory Services to replace WHOIS PDP Working Group, the Review of All Rights Protection Mechanisms PDP Working Group, and the IGO-INGO Curative Rights PDP Working Group. In addition, the GNSO also has scheduled bilateral meetings with the CCNSO and the Governmental Advisory Committee, or GAC, to discuss topics of common interest. And some of the topics that it expects to discuss and or receive updates on during the GNSO Monday sessions are updates on the status of work for the different policy development processes, a briefing by the global stakeholder engagement team, an update on the KSK rollover, a discussion on the planning and preparations for the PTI FY19 budget, and a joint meeting with the board working group on internet governance. Each morning from 8 to 8:30, the GNSO policy team will be providing briefings to those interested to help you prepare for the day ahead and brief you on the GNSO activities for that day. These are expected to be interactive sessions, so please come with any comments or questions that you may have. A number of GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies are also planning their respective session, outreach sessions throughout the week. On Wednesday, the GNSO Council public meeting will take place, which is expected to cover topics such as the consideration of the revised charter for the cross-community working group on internet governance, the proposed process and criteria for the selection of the GNSO representative to the empowered community administration, a discussion on the proposed fundamental bylaw changes and the community forum that Mary briefed you on earlier in this presentation, as well as an update on the reconvened Red Cross PDP working group. On Thursday, the GNSO Council will meet for a wrap-up session, which will allow for a review of the activities that will have taken place during the week and to start its planning for the projects and activities that will take place between now and the next ICANN meeting. And with that, I hand it over to my colleague, Heidi Ulrich.
Thank you very much, Marieke. President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations, and I'm speaking to you today from Los Angeles. I'm delighted to give you a preview of the activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and the At-Large Community that they are planning for the policy forum at ICANN 59. So first, let's take a look at the ALAC and At-Large activities during ICANN 59, and they will be focusing on several policy topics, one main process-related item, and the AFRALO General Assembly activities. So related to policy, the at-large leaders will discuss the following topics. They are new GTLDs, registry directory services, use of country names, new GTLD consumer safeguards, and DNS abuse and consumer safeguards. And as part of their discussions, they have invited speakers from the community and from staff to present updates on these policies as well as discuss areas of interest with at-large. These in-depth discussions will ensure at-large is prepared for the afternoon cross-community policy sessions that you've just heard the details of. The process-related issue will focus on the ongoing at-large review. In May 2017, ITEMS, the Independent Examiner, published its final report on the at-large review, and this triggered the next phase of the at-large review process, which has at-large focusing on developing the feasibility assessment and implementation plan of each of the recommendations. This analysis will be submitted to the ICANN Board Organizational Effectiveness Committee prior to the board's consideration of the ITEMS recommendations. During ICANN 59, at-large will be holding a dedicated working session to discuss the method to carry out this analysis. And the ALAC and RALO statements in response to the draft final reports published earlier in the year laid much of the groundwork for this document. Moving on to the AFRALO General Assembly activities, AFRALO will be holding a number of activities for its General Assembly. This includes a series of interactive capacity development sessions each day of the policy forum. There'll be an outreach event with university students from Johannesburg, outreach activities at an AFRALO booth, an AFRALO showcase, and the General Assembly plenary. And I'll provide more details of that on the next slide. So for ALAC, the ALAC and ALAC leadership team will be holding 9.5 hours of face-to-face meeting, as well as sessions with several AC and SOs. At-large sessions, which also include their regional leaders, the chairs and the secretaries of the regional at-large organizations, will be focusing on the cross-community sessions scheduled for the afternoons. They'll be also holding meetings with the constituency stakeholder group, the GAC, and the SAC. Discussions with spokespeople for the CCTRT, or U-Team, consumer safeguards, and domain name abuse will be highlights of their policy discussions. And finally, there'll be an initial discussion on the third at-large summit, which is scheduled to take place at ICANN 64 in March 2019. For working groups, where a lot of the at-large and ALAC work takes place, there'll be several meetings being held to advance their work, and these are with the Capacity Building Working Group, the Public Interest Working Group, the Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement, and the Technology Task Force, and these are taking place Tuesday and Wednesday. And finally, the AFRALO General Assembly As I mentioned, there'll be a general assembly and several activities held during the policy forum. And approximately 50 AFRALO at-large structure representatives will be engaged in a series of sessions through the whole week. And you will be seeing them with their polo shirts with the AFRALO logo. There'll be an outreach, as I've mentioned, there'll be an outreach event with the students from the University of Johannesburg. That's going to be Monday morning. The General Assembly plenary will be taking place Wednesday, and that will be likely be seeing a signing of the MOU between AFRALO and AFRINIC. There'll be a capacity development session, again, all every day of the week. The first one is on policy development, followed by security trends impacting registrants and end users, then the empowered community, and finally the next generation registration services, directory services. The AFRALO showcase will feature speeches by senior staff and board members, a uniquely South African dance troupe, and light refreshments, and that's taking place on Wednesday evening. And then the General Assembly plenary itself will be the primary meeting of AFRALO, and they'll be discussing issues of key importance, and they'll be held in two parts on Wednesday. This concludes the ALAC and at-large update, and I now would like to hand the floor over to my colleague Olaf Nordling and his team, who will provide an update on the activities of the GAC.
Thank you so much, Heidi, and good evening or good morning from Brussels. And a few words about the Governmental Advisory Committee, frequently abbreviated as the GAC, which is an advisory committee consisting of 172 governments as members and 36 intergovernmental organizations as observers, so quite a crowd. And they do have a full agenda for ICANN 59, making good use of every little minute available to them for various matters. And a few examples is in ICANN 59, they will start the nominations for the upcoming elections of the GAC leadership due to be concluded by ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi. GAC also in the empowered community as a decisional participant that has been mentioned by Mary and by Joki, and there are practical matters to deal with. There are also adaptations to the new ICANN bylaws to take into account and develop. The CCWG, the Cross-Constituency Working Group on Accountability, is still alive and kicking, and its working stream 2 updates is something that is very close to the heart of the GAC as one of the chartering organizations to that Cross-Constituency Working Group. And there will also be efforts to provide input and discuss also participation in the ongoing DNSO PDPs, which Marika has told you about, many of which are of fundamental importance, not only to GAC, but for the whole community. And lastly, there are still residual issues coming from the previous round for new GTLDs, notably the use of two character codes as second-level domains and also use of country names as second-level domains. Popular topics which have been subject for discussions for quite some time, and these discussions will, of course, continue. And it deserves to be mentioned also that all GAC sessions, and I mean all, will be open for attendance and also remotely, which wasn't the case some years ago, but is now a very well-established tradition. With that, I will hand it over to Julia Charvolin across the Atlantic in Pittsburgh. So please take it away, Julia.
Thank you, Olaf. Hello, everyone. So among the GAC working groups that will be meeting at ICANN 59, the Human Rights and International Law Working Group will discuss the possible next steps and outcomes of the Cross-Community Working Group Human Rights, subgroup consultation on the framework of interpretation, as well as the work they have been conducting since ICANN 58. Also, the GAC Underserved Regions Working Group will discuss the work progress made since ICANN 58 and how to increase participation of working group members in GNSO PDPs and cross-community working groups. Additionally, the working group will continue working on its FAQ document on delegation and redelegation of CCPLD. The work on this document started after ICANN 58 with the help of the CCNSO and the PTI, and the intent is to help GAC members who are experiencing issues with this matter. Prior to ICANN 59, the Underserved Regions and Public Safety Working Groups will host the second ICANN Capacity Development Workshop for African GAC members, law enforcement, and consumer protection agencies. The agenda, session details, and remote participation information can be found on the link I will post in the chat pod. The GAC will be participating in cross-community discussions and particularly in the session on who sets ICANN priorities, which has a direct link to the cross-community session the GAC chaired in Helsinki on workload and management. And with this, I will hand it over to my colleague, Fabien.
Thank you, Julia. And to complete the overview of GAC activities in Johannesburg, I will provide a short update on two important topics, two important policy areas for the GAC, public safety and geographic names. You may know that the GAC has a dedicated working group for each of these. The Public Safety Working Group, for its part, will continue assessing the effectiveness of previous GAC advice related to abuse mitigation, and this includes following progress on new initiatives such as the domain abuse reporting tool that is being developed by the ICANN organization. In the area of RDS, the PSWG will contribute the expertise of its members and bring both a law enforcement perspective as well as data protection perspective in various settings during the policy forum. And this includes the cross-community session on GDPR that was discussed earlier, the next generation RDS PDP working group, and the RDS review team that is due to kick off at ICANN 59. Regarding geographic names, the GAC working group in this area has been considering the outcomes of the cross-community webinar on this topic that was held in April and will bring its proposal and perspective in the cross-community sessions that are planned in Johannesburg. This concludes the updates on GAC activities during the ICANN 59 Policy Forum. I am now turning it over to you, Andrew.
Thank you, Fabien. My name is Andrew McConaughey, and I'm going to be giving you an update on the Root Server System Advisory Committee and the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. And first, we'll do the Root Server System Advisory Committee, also known as the RSAC. The RSAC recently published a lexicon in mid-March 2017, which contains a lot of terms related to the root service and the root server operators. They have three other documents in progress, one of which is the workshop report from their recent May 2017 workshop. The second is the RSAC statement on DNS root server operators accountability. And they're also working on an RSAC advice on entries in DNS root sources. The RSAC will hold nine working sessions at ICANN 59 to focus on root service evolution, caucus engagement, the RSAC review, and updating service expectations of root servers document. That's RSAC 000. They'll also meet with the Office of the CTO and other stakeholders. For more information on the RSAC, the first link is to their main webpage, and the second link is to their publications. So please check those out if you're interested in learning more about the RSAC. And now on to the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, also known as the SSAC. The SSAC recently published four documents and has one in progress. The one that's in progress, the SSAC advisory regarding the centralized zone data service and registry operator monthly activity reports, will probably be published maybe tomorrow or maybe next week. So that will be out before ICANN 59. The other published documents are the SSAC comment on the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 draft framework of interpretation for human rights, the SSAC advisory on the use of emoji and domain names, and the SSAC response to the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group community comment 2, and the SSAC comments on the draft recommendations of the CCWG accountability workstream 2 on SOAC accountability. Those four have already been published. With regards to ICANN 59, the ESSEC will be hosting the DNSSEC workshop. The ESSEC does this at every ICANN meeting, and it's going to be concerned with DNSSEC deployments and anything related to registries and registrars or ISPs operations and DNSSEC. So if you are interested in these topics and you're interested in DNSSEC or DANE, particularly if you work at a registry or a registrar and you'd like to learn more, you'd like to see some interesting presentations, then this workshop is for you. And it's going to be held Monday on the 26th of June from 9 to 12 Johannesburg time. For more information on the ESSEC, here are two links to follow, main webpage and the publications link. And that concludes my part of this presentation, and now it's back over to Ozan. Go ahead, Ozan.
Thank you, Andrew. Hello, everyone. This is Ozan Shahin speaking. I'm a community engagement coordinator in the policy development support team of ICANN, working out of Istanbul office. We will now continue with question and answer session. As you might have noted on the screen, Adobe Connect Room microphones have now been enabled. To activate your microphone, please click on the telephone icon at the top of your toolbar and follow the instructions. I would also like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. So during your registration period for this webinar, we have received some questions through the registration form. As you think about your questions to ask Policy Development Support Team now, and activate your microphones, I would like to go through some of the questions we have received so far. And you will also see the answers to those questions on the slide. So since all slides will be available right after the webinar, I would like to give priority to in-room questions, either in the chat box, or you may, of course, raise your hand to ask questions or for your comments. So in the meantime, let's go through one of the questions. How can I, as an ALS, be involved in and be useful in ICANN's policy and to make the new, to make the members of my organization and others aware of the role that ICANN plays in enabling people to connect to the internet and exchange information and data? Heidi, would you like to respond to that question?
Sure. This is Heidi. I'm just going to actually speak from the slide, that the text that I prepared. But first, I'd like to thank. Thank you very much for the question. And as an at-large structure, and anyone indeed who would like to learn more about at-large, there are many resources that can help you with learning more about ICANN policy issues and how at-large policy advice development works. The first is the series of at-large capacity development webinars, and we're actually in the third season, and there's a link there up to the 2017 webinar series, but they've been actually going on for since 2015, so there are a number of monthly webinars that you can take a look at, and there's a lot of information there, and they are interpreted into French and Spanish as well. And then also, if you are able to either be in Johannesburg or dial in remotely, AFRALO, as I mentioned during my presentation on that large, they will be holding their General Assembly with a number of capacity development sessions, and these are meant to be very interactive, so not presentations or lectures, but very interactive sessions, and this might be very useful for you to find out more about the at-large development, policy advice development process, and other issues as well related to policy development within at-large. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. So I'm checking to see if there are any hands raised, but seeing none and no questions typed in the chat box. I'd like to let you know that we have received a total of 8 questions through the registration form, and we provided a short answers on the slide decks. Again, all questions received through the registration form and their answers on the slide deck will be available after the webinar. Therefore, I will not go through all of them as we are short in time. You may reach Pulse Development Support Team at policy-staff@icann.org as noted on the current slide. And below that email address, there are various Twitter accounts listed with which you can stay updated. I would also like to encourage you to download ICAN59 mobile application in order to enhance your meeting experience. Lastly, please make sure to visit the link on the slide for pre-ICAN59 policy report, which will include what to expect at ICAN59, background information, and session details. And also look for the post-ICAN59 policy report with results and recap of the meeting in early July. With that, over to you, David.
Thank you, Ozan and colleagues, and I want to thank participants in this webinar for your time and attention. We hope that we provided you with the highlights of this important policy forum, our second policy forum, and to show the intense discussions on policy topics and issues before the community and your efforts to make those issues known to many in the community and to try to look for the right solutions as we move forward. So with that, I would like to say we appreciate your visiting and being with us, and we wish everyone safe travels if you're going to be attending in person in Johannesburg. And if not, please recall that we'll have a very good remote participation capability for you, so we'll be glad to welcome you online as well. Having said that, I'd like to conclude our policy update and wish everyone a good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you may be. Again, thank you for your participation and time. Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody, for joining today's webinar. This call is now over. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.